Remarks of the President at the 17th Annual International Christian Leadership Conference, Men's Breakfast, Mayflower Hotel, February 9th, 1961.
Mr. Chairman, Dr. Graham, Mr. Vice President, gentlemen, I think it's most appropriate that we should be gathered together for this morning's meeting. This country was founded by men and women who were dedicated or came to be dedicated to two propositions. First, a strong religious conviction, and secondly, a recognition that this conviction could flourish only under a system of freedom. I think it is appropriate that we pay tribute to this great constitutional principle, which is enshrined in the First Amendment of the Constitution, the principle of religious independence, of religious liberty, of religious freedom. But I think it's also important that we pay tribute and acknowledge another great principle, and that is the principle of religious conviction. Religious freedom has no significance unless it is accompanied by conviction. And therefore, the Puritans and the Pilgrims of my own section of New England, the Quakers of Pennsylvania, the Catholics of Maryland, the Presbyterians of North Carolina, the Methodists and the Baptists who came later, all shared these two great traditions, which, like silver threads, have run through the warp and the woof of American history. No man who enters upon the office in which I have succeeded can fail to recognize how every president of the United States has placed special reliance upon his faith in God. Every president has taken comfort and courage when told, as we are told today, that the Lord will be with thee, he will not fail thee nor forsake thee, fear not, neither thou be dismayed. While they came from a wide variety of religious backgrounds and held a wide variety of religious beliefs, each of our presidents, in his own way, have placed a special trust in God. Those who were strongest intellectually were also strongest spiritually. Today, our nation is passing through another time of trial. In many ways, our dangers and our problems are far greater, and certainly infinitely more complex. We will need to draw upon the best that this nation has, often, and draw upon it physically and intellectually and materially. But we need also to call upon our great reservoir of spiritual resources. We must recognize that human collaboration is not enough, that in times such as these, we must reach beyond ourselves if we are to seek ultimate courage and infinite wisdom. It is an ironic fact that in this nuclear age, when the horizon of human knowledge and human experience has passed far beyond any that any age has ever known, that we turn back in this time to the oldest source of wisdom and strength, to the words of the prophets and the saints, who tell us that faith is more powerful than doubt, that hope is more potent than despair, and that only through the love that is sometimes called charity can we conquer those forces within ourselves and throughout all the world that threaten the very existence of mankind. Keeping in mind that when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him, let us go forth to lead this land that we love, joining in the prayer of General George Washington in 1783, that God would have you in his holy protection, that he would incline the hearts of the citizens to entertain a brotherly love and affection one for another, and finally, that he would most graciously be pleased to dispose us all to do justice, to love mercy, and to demean ourselves with the characteristics of the divine author of our blessed religion, without an humble example, imitation of whose example we can never hope to be a happy nation. The guiding principle and prayer of this nation has been, is now, and shall ever be, in God we trust. Thank you.